Say the ladies played cards, what, Friday?
Yes.
Friday, you know, the ladies play cards. And
Tuesday, Tuesday,
oh, Tuesday and Friday. And
the spa group on Friday, this day.
Oh.
Is
this by invitation only? Is this? Okay. Okay. Well, everybody plays great games, you know. Games have rules, right? You got rules to the cards games. She makes the rules. Well, okay. We'll talk about that here, too. And you don't cheat, right? Rules are to keep you from cheating, right? Or making them up. So a lot of people kind of make up the rules. But knowing and following the rules guides how you play, so that everybody knows how you're supposed to play. What it doesn't ensure is whether you win or lose. You just know how to play the game. You know, kids sort of, you know, the grandkids sort of, you know, you start playing a game and the rules kind of change as you go along. You know, they're kind of made up as we go to suit what they need in the game, you know, where they're at. And as we go along, especially played Sorry a lot with the kids, you know. You remember Sorry, you're at home, you got to get a one or a two to get out and then go around. And Sorry, and you knock them off and put them back at home. And you know, they try to adjust the rules a little bit. They may count the squares a little differently. They may say that card really wasn't their card. And what happens when you play Sorry, then, you know, when, you know, you don't get what you want, you know, you get almost there, you're feeling pretty good, and then somebody sorries you and puts you back, then there's maybe a tear or two, some frustration happens, and you know, some fussiness because they didn't get to be where they wanted to be. You know, even obeying the rules or trying to obey the rules, it didn't allow them to get where they wanted to be. So rules sometimes creates frustration by trying to keep them and then doing it the right way. They don't get you into home, you know, just by following the rules. You know, the game changes. So that happens in life too. There was a gentleman who did everything right. You know, he brushed his teeth twice a day. The doctor examined him at least twice a year. He wore galoshes when it rained. He slept with the windows open. He stuck to a diet with plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables. Got at least 8 hours of sleep every night. He never smoked, never drank, never lost his temper. He exercised every day. He's all set to live to be 100. You know, he's all set. Did everything he could. The funeral will be Wednesday. He was only 53. He survived by 18 specialists, 4 health institutions, 6 gymnasiums, and numerous manufacturers of health foods and drugs. So, you know, he followed all the rules, did what experts told him to do, and was really strict in doing them and following the rules. But he did everything he could do to live a long life, and yet he still died. You know, he all the specialists, the health institutions, the gymnasiums, the manufacturers of the food and drugs, and all the rules and regulations that he abided by couldn't help him attain the goal that he wanted to reach. You know, he still died. He didn't live forever. He didn't live to be 100. A lot of people today kind of do the same thing and make a lot of money off of it, telling us how to live. And if we do everything right, then we can practically live forever. You know, it'll do us. So now, taking care of our bodies may generally does, but may not, but certainly help us to lead healthier and more wholesome lives. But it's not guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed. You know, living a long life's not guaranteed, even if we follow all of the rules that we're given. And we've got a lot of so-called spiritual experts you may see, you know, TV, internet. They're all telling you what you need to do. And leaders that's doing the same thing in regards to our spiritual being and Christianity on what we need to do to be a Christian and the rules we have to follow and to be closer to God. And that's let alone the other religions and requirements that they have. But the do's and don'ts to live a life we need to live to please God is what they put out. You got to do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then you'll please God if you do those things. Well, in Colossians, we're going to be back in Colossians again today, chapter 2, verses 16 to 22. Paul's talking, and they had the same, again, as, you know, throughout history, people never change. They just truly don't change. One guy said, people are better off, but they're not better. They're still people, do the same things they did. And they did the same thing in Colossians as we started to read last week in chapter 2. But we're going to move on from there into verses 16 to 22. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God caused it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, and with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. That may sound like a lot, you know, off the top, but the Colossians had leaders telling them how to live. You need to do this, you need to do these things, and you need to do them to be holy and pleasing and acceptable to God. And that's how you get to Him. You do these things. And Paul warned, and he did back in verses 8 and 9 also, about deceptive philosophies and based on human traditions and basically worldly principles. And, you know, they had the same thing then. Back then it was certain, you know, you had rules on how you, certain food you could eat or meat you could eat. You know, you had to, could only eat certain ones. You could only prepare them certain ways. There were rules for the holidays that you had, what you had to do. Rules for festivals. A lot of rules you have to follow. And all of these were needed so you could be pleasing and acceptable to God. Well, those things were important at the time. You know, the Old Testament, the things that they did were important at the time. But the purpose was different. The purpose was leading up to Jesus. The Old Testament is a shadow of what's to come. All of those were a shadow of what's to come. The festivals all pointed to Jesus and things He was going to do and His coming. The holidays and, the offerings that they did and the sacrifices all pointed to Jesus. They were all shadows. That's why when Jesus came, you don't have to do those things anymore. You know, the sacrifices are done away with. There's been one main one that takes care of all of them. You don't have to do those anymore. And so things change when Christ comes, but we still have people saying, all these rules you got to follow. You got to do these things. Today, a lot of times they say, well, don't bother God. You know, you don't really talk to Him. You can pray to others. You know, you might not be good enough. You know, seek those you consider to be more holy and tend to be act more holy, and let them intercede for you. You know, you need to talk to them or pray for them. You know, and we we see that, you know, back then you said you can pray to angels, and I think people still do that for some reason. And you know, you can pray to the saints, you know, just pray for them, let them intercede for you. You can pray to Mary, because they're all extremely holy. They've got a record. They were holy people. They were close to God. So, you know, they can intercede better for you than your prayer going to God. They can intercede better because they were so close to God. It's like you're not good enough on your own, you know, and that's totally not what the Bible says. You know, they must have skipped over 1 Timothy 2:5. Because 1 Timothy 2:5 is very plain. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." To me, that's pretty plain. There's one mediator. It's Jesus. He's our only mediator. He's the only one that could open the door to the Father. And as we belong to Him, as children of God, we always have access to our Father because we're children of God. You know, we always have access to our Father. God is our Father. He's always there for us. You don't have to go through anyone. You know, you go direct. You know, you go straight to the Father, straight to God. You know, most rules or laws we have are what not to do. You know, it's always a no. You know, no swimming, no right turn on red. I think they just made that law for the sign printing industry. Because it seemed like as soon as they said, yeah, you can turn on red, no turn on red signs popped up everywhere. So, you know, do not enter, not an exit. You know, no fishing, you know, goes on and on and on about the things you cannot do. So it's believed, you know, you think that if we actually know the rules and the laws, then we can lead better lives. You know, it prevents kind of a chaos and keeps the peace. You know, it's all spelled out for us. There's signs everywhere on what we can do and what we can't do. So really, we don't have any excuse for not knowing how to live and how to behave. Then there are rules for our spiritual life and for us to be acceptable to God. And a lot of people say, well, you things you must do. You've got to pray. You got to do that. You got to read your Bible. You have to sing praises. Maybe you should fast. You need to fast. You know, and a whole list of other things that you need to do these things. And now all of those things are good things. They're wonderful things. All of those things will certainly grow you toward God. But why do I do them? And who do I do them for? You know, you got to have a reason you do what you do. So why do I do them and who do I do them for? And do I just go through the motions because it's what I'm supposed to do? You know, do I go to church because that's what I'm supposed to do? Maybe I grew up going to church, so that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go to church on Sundays. You know, I read my Bible because, well, I'm supposed to do that. You know, we're supposed to do that. They talk about it at church and Sunday school all the time, so I'm supposed to do that. Okay, do I do it to make myself feel better? About doing what I understand that God would want me to do? You know, do I go to church for the sake of going to church, or do I go to church to truly worship God? Do I read the Bible just to read the Bible? You know, you read a lot of things you never remember the next day. You've read it. You know, and I know of a lot of people that say, well, I've read the Bible, you know, about 6-7 times completely through. Just start at the front, go to the end, just do it all over again. Well, that's wonderful. You've read it. Did you get anything from it? Got to study it a little. You got to think about it a little bit. You just talk downstairs. You got to meditate on it. You got to think about what he's saying, what he's doing. There's meaning in there for you. It's not just reading it. Say, I read it. And you didn't draw anything from it. So, is it for just me to do it so I can say I did it? Or is it really to honor God and to worship God? Everyone has rules. Rules and laws, like I said, give order so everyone can live together better. They give boundaries, what's allowed, what isn't. But a rule book of do's and don'ts to be acceptable to God isn't enough. The rule book's not enough. You know, if we look, go back to verse 23, it says, such regulations, indeed, and a lot of these were the forced rules on the people then, but such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, seem like good things, should be good things, but their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You can know all the laws. You can know all the rules. You can know all the proper acts of worship. But in and of themselves, they won't help you with the sin nature you have. Our desire to sin will overpower any rules that we have. You know, if you're on the highway or you're on any road, let's just say you're going down the highway at 65 miles an hour, or it could be 55 or 45. It really doesn't matter. But if you're going down the highway, you see 65 mph. What does that mean? It means I'm not supposed to drive faster than 65 miles per hour. Don't go faster than that. Do you ever see anyone going faster than 65 miles an hour? Or 55 or 45, the posted limit. At the very least, you get passed, and you may get run over. You know, those that you can't see the bumpers or the headlights anymore, that's pushing. You know, like, don't they know the speed limit? No, sure they do. Everyone does. Everyone knows what the law says. But it doesn't fit their current needs, where they're at, you know. A law doesn't have the power at all to stop us from breaking the law. It's there for guidance, but it doesn't control us. We have the desire to speed, we're going to do it. If we have the desire, you have the opposite. You do have every now and then a person that goes way slower than the speed limit. You know, there's... sometimes they don't post it, but you're not supposed to go completely below it either. So, you know, if we deem rules are unfair or inconvenient, you know, when we play Sorry or the game, you know, something becomes unfair somewhere along the line if you keep being put back home. That's unfair. If following the speed limit's inconvenient, we're going to bend them at the least and ignore and break them at the most. You know, we're not going to follow that law. We're not going to follow that rule. Rules get warped by our desires, our internal desires. They get warped. And then we can rationalize them in so many ways why we're okay. You know, you can go 5 miles an hour over, right? You know you can go because police have a grace of 5 miles an hour. So we already know you can go 5 or maybe 6 because they have like a grace speed limit they'll allow you to have. So it's okay to go faster than the speed limit says. You know, laws are only there if we want to obey them. You know, it's our choice. They can only make it, if you think laws are to help with morality, they're only make me as moral as I want to be. You know, again, they don't control us. They're a guide, but we make the choices. There was once a true story about a group of motorists that was on the interstate in Pennsylvania. And they were all clipping along at a pretty high rate of speed. You know, there was four or five cars, you know, and they were plugging along and going pretty good until they spotted a state policeman coming on to the access ramp to get on the interstate too. Well, you know what happened? Everybody slowed way down. You know, there they barely go the speed limit. You know, if you know a policeman's behind you, you're struggling even to keep 65. You're 64, 63. Well, now there had been some work on the road, too. So on this Pennsylvania highway and some road work during the summer. And there was a part of it that went down to one lane. Restrictions, so then nobody could pass anybody. You know, you're just lined up with this policeman behind him. Well, after a couple of miles on this Pennsylvania highway, the state policeman activated his bullhorn. This was summertime, people had windows rolled down and things. He activated his bullhorn, and his voice was heard through the open windows of the drivers in front of him. And he said, "I'm not a Pennsylvania state policeman. I'm from Connecticut. You can speed up now." So even policemen have a little bit of a problem with the speed limit. It's too limiting for them. So, and that's what happens. We can let rules and things seem too limiting for us. Instead of obeying them, we want to change them bend them a little bit, and rules in and of themselves don't help us with morality. They don't make us do the right thing, because we still have the ability to decide if we're going to follow those or not. With that, we're going to have an invitation, and then we're going to have communion as we close. But morality and spirituality, it doesn't come from rules. They come from desire, and they come from change. And I said earlier in Colossians, you know, when we're baptized into Christ, you know, that's a change. You know, and a change happens when we're baptized into Christ. You know, our sins are forgiven. Our hearts are filled with Christ. We're made alive in Christ. You know, in effect, we have a heart transplant. You know, the sin-centered heart is removed and it's replaced by a Christ-centered heart. And this change creates a new relationship and a changed attitude with the donor. You know, don't you think people that receive a heart are appreciative of the donor? I mean, the donor didn't volunteer, but he was able to get a heart to continue his life, to live his life. Jesus gave his up. Jesus, as the donor, gave his life up for you. He chose to do it. When you have that, then you don't do things because of rules, but because of Christ, through His Holy Spirit that dwells in you. You're not moral because you have to be, but because you want to be. You desire to be, because of change. Change is taking effect inside of you. If you face it, we can't all obey the rules anyways. No matter how hard we try, we couldn't obey all the rules. So don't try to keep up with rules and what experts say and think that will make you holy. You know, rules certainly help in growth. They say all those things were good things, but they don't fulfill you if there's a lack of relationship with Jesus. Just obeying the rules don't make us acceptable to God. but a relationship with Jesus does. So as we close today, head into communion, and we have that time of looking at ourselves, you know, just think, are you relying on yourself? Are you counting on rules to make you acceptable? Or are you relying on the finished work of Jesus? You know, he did it all. You know, are you coming to church to be coming to church? Are you coming to church to actually worship God? You know, are you reading your Bible just because that's what you're supposed to do? Are you reading your Bible with purpose? To know him better? To follow what he wants you to do? To learn to be more like him through his word? To let him talk to you? Let's pray as we come to the altar call. Father, we thank you.